Radio Prague News.
An article thanking the Norwegian gunman who killed 76 people was published on a Czech website catering to far-right extremists. Police have evacuated protesters holding a blockade against the felling of bark beetle-infested trees in the Šumava National Park, and the Czech ombudsman has called on the state to take responsibility for errors that were made in the payment of pensions. A Czech far-right extremist has thanked the Norwegian gunman Anders Behring Breivik for his twin terror attacks on the website White Media, the online version of the daily Lidové Noviny, reported on Wednesday. In an article titled In Defense of Anders Breivik, an anonymous author writes that what the gunman had done was understandable and would inspire others who oppose multiculturalism and are fighting against it. A police spokeswoman told the news site Aktualne.cz that police are investigating the case and the identity of the author. Terrorism expert Marianne Brzy-Bohaty commented, stating that publishing the article was a criminal act and broke the law on at least three different counts. The 32-year-old Norwegian gunman killed 76 people on Friday in a brutal bombing and shooting massacre and is currently facing charges of up to 30 years in prison. Police evacuated the remaining environmental activists holding a blockade in the Modrava region of Šumava National Park to prevent the felling of bark beetle-infested trees from the site on Wednesday afternoon. Some 17 of the activists participating in the blockade were arrested. Seven of the protesters were chained to trees and had to be removed by police. A few of them have started returning to the area, a police spokeswoman said. Some 40 police officers are currently on site. Loggers are expected to fell some 300 infested trees on Wednesday. According to the organizer of the blockade, Mojmir Vlašin, police brutality has been escalating. He says that one officer attacked a protester, choked and threatened him. The park's management is determined to push ahead with logging activity, arguing that another 30,000 trees in the vicinity are in imminent danger of infestation. Czech ombudsman Pavel Varvarovský has said that if errors in paying out pensions occur, the state is responsible for correcting them and reimbursing those who have suffered financial damages as a consequence. He added that in the second quarter of this year, the Czech Social Security Administration had made a few such errors that were addressed with him. He said that in one case, a pensioner's monthly payment was partially withheld due to the fact that the man had been in debt. However, after the creditor had informed the Social Security Administration that the debt was paid off, the agency continued withholding the money from the retired man for another 1.5 years. Mr. Varvarovský remarked that such mistakes can have grave consequences for pensioners and called on the Ministry of Labor and Social Affairs, where complaints can be filed, to address the matter accordingly. Customs officers, in collaboration with Czech police, have confiscated some 90 parrot and turtle specimens in a total of 12 house searches in an effort to crack down on the illegal trade with rare animal breeds. According to a police spokeswoman, the confiscated specimens have a retail value of roughly 14 million Czech crowns. Two suspects have been charged with illegally selling protected species. Another five suspects are charged with other offenses connected to the trade in exotic animals. Among the parrot species confiscated were some very rare and endangered ones, such as the hyacinth macaw, the palm cockatoo, and the red-spectacled Amazon. And now let's take a brief look at the weather. Ahead of the weekend, conditions should improve, with daytime highs of up to 24 degrees Celsius and mostly sunny weather. My name is Sarah Borufka, and this brings us to the end of today's news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. In today's program, Czech President Václav Klaus has made headlines after refusing to go through a metal detector in Australia. We'll have the details. And Czech scientists working with an international team of experts have successfully finished mapping the barley genome. Find out more. Then, a little later in the program, join us for a visit to the beautiful South Bohemian town of Písek. That's all ahead. Czech President Václav Klaus caused a minor diplomatic incident in Australia this week after refusing to go through security at Canberra's Parliament House. Mr. Klaus had arrived for a TV interview with Australia's ABC network, which has a studio inside the building, but promptly turned on his heels when he was asked to walk through a metal detector. Rob Cameron has more.
ABC News is Australia's most prestigious TV channel, and its nightly 7:30 show is one of the country's leading news and current affairs programmes. President Klaus is currently visiting Australia in a private capacity as a guest of free market think tank, the Institute of Public Affairs. He'd just given an address to the National Press Club about climate change, something about which he is notoriously sceptical, and a number of media interviews have been lined up to discuss his unorthodox views. Greeted by ABC producer Michelle Ainsworth, he was asked to pass through security at the entrance to Parliament House. Ms. Ainsworth later told Australian media Mr. Klaus had taken one look at the metal detector and said, "I'm not going through there." She asked a security guard if he could be spared the check, to which the guard replied, "I don't care who he is, everyone goes through," at which Mr. Klaus turned on his heels and walked off, telling the stunned producer they could come and interview him at his hotel. For technical reasons, they could not. Radim Ochvat is the president's spokesman.
Here in the Czech Republic and in most countries around the world, X-ray machines in state institutions are there primarily to protect heads of state and senior officials from other people, not the other way around.
An official at Parliament House, Alan Thompson, defended his security staff in an interview with Australia's The Age newspaper, saying that everyone was asked to go through the metal detectors, with the only exception being the sitting Prime Minister. Special arrangements for visiting heads of state, he said, required early notification, and President Klaus, on a private, not a state or official visit, had turned up with no notice at all, he told the paper. There's now a lively debate, both down under and back home, about Mr. Klaus's conduct, with some saying he was merely defending his dignity and others accusing him of being a prima donna. Ladislav Špaček, Václav Havel's longtime spokesman and an expert on etiquette and protocol, was one of the first to stand up for him.
Senior officials, and especially heads of state, are never asked to go through security anywhere in the world. I was President Havel's spokesman for 11 years. I traveled with him to 50, 60 different countries around the world. We visited dozens, maybe hundreds of presidential palaces, royal palaces, parliaments, senates, various secure buildings. We attended NATO summits, EU summits, the UN General Assembly. And not once were we, nor any other head of state, ever asked to go through security.
The 7:30 show, meanwhile, is not complaining. Presenter Chris Ullmann, who was left twiddling his thumbs after the presidential snub, says his programme has had more press for not interviewing the president than if the interview had gone ahead.
Rob Cameron reporting there on a story that's been getting a lot of attention in world headlines. Mr. Klaus's apparent snub, refusing to go through a metal detector in Australia. Well, what's your opinion? What do you think about the actions of the Czech president? Were they justified? Was he in his right not to go through that process? If you have an opinion of your own, please do write to us here at the station. The address is english@radio.cz. And you can give your comments there, and some of them may even make it into our mailbox program. We turn now to this story, though. Czech scientists working with an international team of experts have successfully finished mapping the barley genome. In a process of more than 10 years, it was unique Czech technical breakthroughs that allowed the 5 billion letters of the barley genome to finally be deciphered. The new knowledge will not only enrich the understanding of genetic evolution, but will also mean real benefits for cultivators in terms of higher yields and more resistant crops. Christian Falvey spoke to Yaroslav Dolezel of the Institute of Experimental Botany in Olomouc.
I should say that this was an international collaboration, so there were important contributions from laboratories in Germany, Japan and Scotland and some other countries. So it was a collaborative effort in which our laboratory played a major role because we came with a strategy that allowed analyzing the very complex genome in a way that it was more precise, more efficient, more direct.
And what does that strategy consist of exactly?
Well, that was our own strategy, and in fact we are the only laboratory in the world who can do that. We develop a method or technology to isolate chromosomes, individual chromosomes from important plants. So the chromosomes are parts of genetic information. Each of the chromosomes carry only a part of genetic information. So by isolating one chromosome, we can dissect the genome into small parts and study those fractions individually. So that's great simplification, reduction of complexity.
And as I understand it, the barley genome is almost twice as long as the human genome, while only having 7 chromosomes. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
So how is that possible exactly? What there must be an extraordinary amount of extra genetic information.
Yeah, I think this is still not well known. Many plant species have genomes or genetic information more complex than human. Wheat has a genome 6 times larger than human. There are many other species which have genomes more complex. And it is because not they contain more genes, but because they contain so-called non-coding DNA. So there are other types of DNA which are present in the genome and which multiplied during the evolution.
And what could that kind of DNA potentially be telling the organism?
Many things. Some of these non-coding, or sometimes people use expression parasitic DNA, sometimes this DNA was incorporated in genes. So our genes would not exist or would not be the same without the presence of this originally parasitic DNA. Some of this DNA remains or seems to be parasitic without any function to the genome. So there are some functions which are important for organism, some functions which perhaps we don't know. Maybe some of this DNA has no function at all.
So the barley genome has now been mapped. What benefits can that bring?
Good. So we should say, perhaps I should specify, what we have done, this international team, is that identified almost all genes in the barley genome and position them on chromosomes or chromosome arms. So now we know what genes are there and where they are. And the next step is to link the genes with the traits of interest, for instance, resistance to diseases, pests, or qualitative traits, yields, etc. So it's an important resource, important information, which will help breeders to breed faster and better, and scientists who study the evolution of the genome and the function of the genome.
Yaroslav Dolezel of the Institute of Experimental Botany in Olomouc, talking to Christian Falvey there about how the 5 billion letters of the barley genome came to finally be deciphered. The name of the station is Radio Prague, and our website is www.radio.cz, where you can find more news from the world of politics, arts, and culture any time of the day, so do look us up on the internet. It's time now, though, for today's main feature, which is an edition of Spotlight that we first broadcast back in March 2007, a visit to the town of Písek by Pavla Horáková.
A well-known 19th century student song about Putimská brána, one of the 3 historic gates in the town walls around Písek. Only a remnant of the gate is preserved to this day, and the town has long expanded beyond its medieval defensive walls.
Písek is a town in southern Bohemia, about 100 kilometers south of Prague, so it's quite easy to reach the town. It takes only 1.5 hours by bus or by car. The town itself has a pleasant location on the Otava River, and the river goes really through the town, so it's nice to walk around, and you would always find the water.
Edita Kucherová from the town hall's Department of Tourism and Foreign Relations. Founded by a royal decree in the 13th century on the gold-bearing Otava River in the midst of game-rich forests, the town soon became a favorite with medieval Czech kings Přemysl Otakar II, Charles IV, and his son Wenceslas IV.
The history goes back to the 13th century when the town was established by the Czech kings. They actually did it because there were important trade routes going along the river, and also people were washing sand from the river in those days to get gold. And this was so important that the Czech kings decided to establish a town here and call the town Písek, which means sand.
Písek was such an important crossroads in those days that it had a stone bridge built in the 13th century. Over 100 meters long and 6.5 meters wide, it is the oldest standing bridge in the country.
We have the oldest remaining bridge in the Czech Republic, and this is really a jewel of the town. Everybody in Písek is very proud to have the oldest remaining bridge in the country. It's even older than the Charles Bridge in Prague.
The historic town center is located on the right bank of the Otava, on a hill just above the bridge. The town's other landmark, a tall white church tower standing on the hill, is therefore visible from afar. Edita Kucherová again.
The main church in Písek is the Virgin Mary Birth Church, which is a large building, large white building, located on a small hill. And the church has, since the end of the 15th century, a very high tower. So this tower you would see from everywhere in Písek, and it's a really a kind of landmark of the town. We also used to have a monastery, but the monastery doesn't stand anymore. There is only the church left, the monastery church. And also there is one important church, the Holy Trinity Church, on the former cemetery. In this church, there is no services right now, but the town organizes concerts there or different other activities, but not the church services.
Písek has traditionally been known as a student town. It always had more schools than is usual for a town of its size. It is true to this day.
Písek is called a town of students and pensionists, because since more than 100 years, we have many schools here, and also in summer many guests are coming, and especially in the olden days it used to be the elder people who spent the summer here and had a very nice life here. The town was and is till now very green and has a good atmosphere. In the olden days the situation was like this. From autumn till spring, the students were here in the flats, and then they left back home and the pensioners came. We had the schools till nowadays. Písek is quite famous for the schools, so there are, of course, there are the basic schools, as we call them, and there are many colleges. We have even some very specialized schools, like the forestry school, which is only one or two in the country. We have the gymnasium and business school. And what is also quite new in Písek and interesting is a film college. Even many students from Prague come here to learn to make movies and so on.
Most of the historic town center has been beautifully renovated, and Písek is now concentrating on its industrial heritage.
Písek always used to have only light industry, which is good for the town, so it's good for the tourists. In the town center, of course, you can find the old buildings of some kind of industry, if we want to call it like this. There is a kind of brewery, we call it the malting house, it was a part of the brewery. This brewery is undergoing renovation right now. It should be finished next year, 2008, and we expect a center of illustration to be there and many more different activities, let's say, for culture. Yeah, so it's not going to be for any industrial use. And, of course, the power station, the old power station, is very important site for the tourists here. It is a building on the Otava River, which used to be a mill. And later on, in the end of the 19th century, the town of Písek established there the first water power station. Písek claims to be the first town in Bohemia to have public electric lighting. And what is interesting on this building or on its equipment, that it's still working. Even as tourists, you can go inside and see the machines, more than 100 years old, still working in very good condition, of course, after renovation. And there is also a small museum of lighting of the town.
The Otava River has been a source of wealth for the town, be it its gold-bearing sand or its hydroelectric power. But it has also proved a disastrous element several times in history. Most recently, it was 5 years ago when pictures of the raging river covering all but the heads of the sculptures on the bridge made the front pages.
2002, the situation was really bad. In August, there was a lot of water coming from the Bohemian forest where the Otava River comes from. There were two points of culmination of the water, and I think on the 12th or 13th of August, the situation was at the worst. The water was really high, some 10 meters high above the normal level, so that even the old bridge was completely covered underwater. We could only see the sculptures from the bridge, and people were very afraid. They didn't know if the bridge survives or not. Also, many houses were flooded, especially on the left bank of the river, which is more flat. Thanks to God, the bridge was not damaged heavily. It could be repaired in the next few months after the floods. And also the town put a lot of effort and money. Even people collected money to repair the bridge and to repair other things also. So a few months after the flood, you wouldn't really realize there was something like this, but the situation was really bad and critical, and there was a lot of damage in Písek.
If sightseeing is not really your cup of tea and you prefer a more active way of spending your holiday, there are plenty of cycling and hiking opportunities around the town.
That edition of Spotlight was written and produced by Pavla Horáková. Now we're going to turn to our final feature for this day, which is another edition of our long-running language series, Soundcheck, in which you can learn Czech through song lyrics. And today's edition is brought to you by Dominik Jun.
Welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, in which you can learn useful phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today's song is Dej mi ruku, or Give Me Your Hand, by the Czech singer Iveta Bartušová. Although released in the early 90s, the song is best described as typical 80s kitsch. You'll recognize the style. The key phrase to look out for is Ty lásky, co nás držej nad vodou, or The Love That Keeps Us Above the Water. Dej mi ruku is a love song full of earnest lyrics and some might even say cliched imagery about the fears and hopes of being in love. Rozpačitě tápem v milování, srdce nám tlučou na popach. The song begins with the phrase Rozpačitě tápem v milování, srdce nám tlučou na poplach, something of a mouthful even in Czech. The simple translation is, we are aimlessly wandering in our love, our hearts are sounding the alarm. Rozpačitě can have a number of meanings, from aimless to being lost or even embarrassed, while poplach literally means alarm and can be used, say, as a poplachové zařízení, an alarm system, meaning a burglar alarm. The main chorus is Dej mi ruku, dám ti svou, ať zůstanou ty lásky, co nás držej nad vodou, which means, give me your hand, I'll give you mine, the love that keeps us above the water. Nad vodou, or above the water, is a metaphor for support. In other words, the person the singer is describing is providing her with support that is figuratively keeping her afloat in life. Thanks for listening, until next time, or zas někdy příště. Naschledanou.
That edition of Soundcheck by Dominic Yuen. Now, if you'd like another chance to hear that edition or to look up other episodes of our long-running language series, which has proven very popular with listeners, you can find that easily at our website, www.radio.cz. Also, once again, a quick reminder, if you've enjoyed anything you've heard in the program today, would like to comment or have any questions, please do write to us here at the station, english@radio.cz. Also, don't forget, there's discussion or ongoing discussion on Facebook, where no doubt someone will comment on the latest Václav Klaus story, which is proving something of a hit on the social networks, the first of its kind since Mr. Klaus's Chilean visit and a famous pen that went missing. I'm Jan Wellinger. For all of us here at the station, thank you so much for joining us this day, and take care.